It is time to take you on the road to 2023. Welcome to our flagship program on the 2023 general elections coverage. Every Saturday by 8 a.m., we bring updates on the 2023 elections, from the candidates to the voting and other related issues. The Road to 2023 is produced by Chioma Ezewafo. And today we're asking important questions, as we always do. But today's question is, do running mates matter? Well, because there's been endless intrigues over choice of running mates in the 2023 presidential election. Of course, you know that a running mate is a person who runs with you on the same party ticket, without which your nomination is invalid. A running mate is chosen basically by the candidate. So to beat a June 17 deadline for submission of presidential and vice presidential candidates, some political parties submitted what they called placeholders while they searched for a suitable running mate. While the APC presidential candidates Bola Tinubu submitted Kabiru Masari's name to INEC, his Labour Party candidate Peter Obi submitted Doyin Okupe as his placeholder, and of course Peter Obi recently announced Senator Yusuf Dati Baba Ahmed as his running mate. Now Tinubu of course is yet to announce Masari's replacement. For the PDP, they are working on reconciling its aggrieved members after its presidential candidate chose Delta State Governor Ifeanyi Okowa as his running mate. Now, INEC has said the concept of placeholder for vice presidential candidates is illegal and has no place in Nigeria's constitutional and legal framework. But then, it reveals how deep the search for running mate goes for the candidate. As a matter of fact, a catchy caption I got from some legal practitioners was "no place for placeholder." So that tells you that this deciding who the running mate is, it takes a lot of time, blood, sweat and tears, energy and all of that. But do these running mates, when they're eventually chosen, matter in the scheme of things? Joining us to have this conversation and more is the lead author of a book he calls A National Development Manual, titled Dream Nation by Design, Sir Ikechi Nwogu. Good morning, Sir Ikechi.
Good morning, Sam. Good to see you.
Yes, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, same here.
You and I usually have conversations around education. You know, when one teacher speaks and the student listens, you're the one I call. But then, this is as educative as it can get, the road to 2023. Mm. Now, you've been following everything. The thing with news now, thanks to social media, is we don't follow news anymore. News follows us now.
Yeah.
And we know what is happening with the major parties, the opposition, who they've decided to choose, who is holding for who, and all of that. What do you make of the running mates emerging for the 2023 elections, at least the ones we know so far, from the major parties?
I think it's interesting because if you look at the progress we've made from 1999, you'd realize that there's a greater sense of attention to detail. So anything just doesn't go anymore, yeah, because people have seen that there's the possibility of the president dying, the number one person.
That has happened.
And so he needs a replacement.
Mm.
They also see that there has to be stability. If you look at the drama around the PDP, they're looking at temperamental issues. Okay, so yeah, for example, Atiku Abubakar had differing lines with his principal then, Obasanjo, and there were even attempts, if memory serves me right, to defect to another party, even while as vice president. You know, so all of those irregularities really need to be stopped because they are not good for administration. They could be gross distractions. And so the principals, the active players, the presidential candidates, are a little more circumspect when it comes to choosing their running mates. They are looking for who will not hijack the office, who will not even kill them. Okay, ahead of their deaths, yeah, right? So, and all of these issues are coming together. They are compounding to determine who the real running mates are. Not also overlooking what Nigerians want, the sense of development, the sense of exposure. I mean, I'm not sure in these times anyone would just pick any illiterate,
sure,
okay, to be his running mate. If you look at the trend as well from the Obasanjo administration to the Yar'Adua administration, then to Jonathan administration, you'll realize that the running mate turned vice president eventually didn't quite play too much of a role. That's why Atiku seemed to be demanding of his place at that time. One or two roles, one or two positions, heading the economic team, heading this and that. But then the vice president would almost be a nominal personality. But in the case of Jonathan, it seemed like we had two presidents. I think that seemed to have been the greatest showing of the vice president, where Namadi Sambo held key positions and oversaw a lot. It seemed like Jonathan was a lot more liberal, even than the Buhari administration, where Osibajo is just almost like a placeholder, if I would use that word. So yeah. You would have seen him make some landmark, inputs here and there, but especially in the absence of the president. And so in the case of Yar'Adua, in the case of Buhari, you realize that it seems more like the presidency is afraid to ease off power to the vice president. So all of these considerations point to trust, point to stability, not also ignoring the wishes and desires of the Nigerians. So we are hoping, like, for the first time we have a professor as vice president in Nigeria. We're hoping that he brings his wealth of knowledge, a professor at law. He brings on his wealth of knowledge to economic issues, to leadership issues, to legal issues. But then it almost seems as though his impact is not felt when you look at the legal mishaps going on here and there and all of that, the poor judgment over economic issues and stuff. And then you begin to wonder, what is the place of this running mate? So in contemporary politics, ahead of 2023, Nigerians are comparing us with the rest of the world. And they are saying, okay, we need a running mate who has an imposing personality, not in a negative way, but someone who can exert some bit of will, political will, to say, look, I have a place here and my voice too should be heard. I shouldn't just be like a placard or a mere picture, a picture frame in the presidency, but I should be a personality of repute. And that's where we are right now.
Should not just be a sidekick.
Not to cast that, yeah.
So when aspirants become candidates, all they have to do is choose. You know?
It's a team.
Yeah, it is a team, but let's not kid ourselves. If the candidate for whatever party says, oh, I want Ike Chinwogu as my running mate. That's what INEC recognizes. The need for consultation, because we have seen this take quite some time. Everybody waited for a particular deadline. Now they had to use placeholders. That means that consultation was running deep. Now, I'm thinking in my head, this negotiation, what exactly are the parameters that people are looking at? Now, I know it's not easy to just choose anybody because that's a sensitive office. As much as it may have stood true for some administrations more than others. But how long do we really need? How long does a party actually need to make this decision? What are the things that must be considered? For you to take this long, you beat a deadline, we're not ready. We say, INEC, you know what, let's just put someone there while we're still. So what exactly goes into that consultation?
Nigeria is a delicate society, standing together at very delicate times. And so a lot more considerations will come into the Nigerian state than anywhere else in the world. Take, for example, the issue of religion. So Tinubu right now is saddled with that headache. He's very close to getting on a Muslim ticket. You remember in 2015, when Tinubu was meant to be running mate to Muhammadu Buhari, the prime consideration was, is this going to be another Muslim brotherhood? Okay, because this is the peculiarity of Nigeria. Now, you would have the argument of the 1993 scenario.
Exactly.
Where MK Abiola was a Muslim.
And Kingibe.
And he had Kingibe, Muslim. Nigeria then was not as divided as it is right now.
Really?
Yes. Now, you know, some of the sentiments are even raised not by the presidency, not by the leadership, but by Nigerians themselves. So back then we could overlook. We wanted the prime factor, MKO Abiola, to come in. He was a good man. Not too much consideration was given to the running mate. So wherever he came from, MK is who we want. But right now, beyond this person, you have rights groups like Murik, refusing very, very strongly to tolerate a Christian candidate. So if Peter Obi, for example, had gone with Dunyokube, that would be a Christian candidate. And if that was the first time, the Muslims would come out very strongly against that. And so it seems like turn by turn, okay, if you would not accommodate a Christian ticket, then why should we accommodate the Muslims? So these are sentimental issues. They are not real. okay? Whether you have a Muslim ticket or a no religion ticket, what is important is the progress for Nigeria. That's under a case of deep maturity, but temperamentally, are Nigerians that mature? Yes, political awareness. We are politically aware and we know what we're doing, but those are some naughty issues that seem to demean the face of leadership, real outright leadership, for which, you know, okay, apart from that, you have the regional sentiments as well. So yeah, you can't have a South-South personality, not because they are not Nigerians and it's not within their rights to do so, but the North will feel neglected. Everyone seems marginalized. And these are issues. You have tribe. Oh, this tribe has produced. Is it only them? They have produced leaders before and blah, blah, blah. So you begin to look at minority regions, majority regions, and then the big issue, political will. So who has the elements to command the votes? And that's why you have a candidate like Rabiu Musa Kwakwanso, who's saying, look, I'm a strong face. I'm a strong force of politics. I can command as much as 5.8 million votes. That's a cult following to my name. Okay, we have the Kwakwa Sia movement in Kano, but beyond Kano, who knows him in some Eche, right? He may just be known a little, but what is the level of impact? Like in the telecoms industry, we say, what's your signal strength? So you go to certain places and they say, who is that?
Just Wamba.
You know, so we should also look at those issues. But then some of these political aspirants are deluded. They feel because I'm well known in my locale, then I should be known automatically everywhere. So we must balance these issues left, right, back, front before the political candidate will accept even your choice as president, because everyone first wants to win elections before they think about the development of the country.
Well, we're going on a break shortly, but I'd like to ask a follow-up to what you said earlier as to why politics today is very different from politics in 1993. And you say it's because we're more divided now. But I would say that for that particular time, you see, Nigerians have a culture, and I've noticed, we vote out, we don't vote in. So you are tired of the current government, and what Nigerians do is anything but this one.
Yeah.
So let's just get this one out. And they pay more attention to that than who is coming in. In 1993, it seemed like the desperation, even though, I mean, MKO was a popular choice, was mainly, let's get out of military rule. So if Ikechi Nwoko comes and says, I'm the one who will bring civil rule, just democracy, let's just do it. Muslim, Christian. Do you think that was a more important factor to the MKO King Gibe Muslim ticket working as against what you've said, that we are more divided now than we were then?
Yeah, so desperation is a setup. And it seems as though, just like they would say that politicians would want to keep the people in abject poverty, in such level of poverty that they would always remain dependent on them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So back then, we were desperate, wanted an end to military. But you also realize that there was the Bashiru Tofa angle. Bashiru Tofa was liked. But the sentiment of Nkrumah Abiola was his philanthropy.
Indeed.
MKO was everywhere. So Nigerians at that time, at that democracy, didn't quite understand. Maybe some persons were the Nadekos of this world, the Prodekos, were the Wole Soyinkas, the Tinubus then. They probably had a greater sense of understanding of democracy. But, you know, if we still refer to democracy today as nascent, it now relates you to what 1993 could have been. So there was a lot of ignorance, okay, pervading the space. There was no social media. So interaction was poor. We had option A4, which was physical count, physical everything.
Yes, indeed.
Now it's a combination of secret and open balloting and all of that. So things have changed with the times. And so, yes, the desperation is something that has subsisted. But I'm sure that with the increasing awareness in politics and the growing participation, you realize that change is more imminent now than it was that at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We do need to take a break. After the break, we talk about the personality of the running mates that have been selected and what is happening to minority groups, like gender-based groups. Is there a possibility of a female running mate? You know, we've talked about region, religion, and all of that. But what about gender? Don't go anywhere. It's still Road to 2023 on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
You are on Road to 2023. 2023.
They have used public resources in their personal interests and in running political parties that have only crippled the possibilities of progress in our country. And Nigerians must say that enough is enough.
Election may be all about voting in the leaders, but you need to understand the issues to make the right choice.
Should we just close our eyes and allow this country to go the way it's going?
That when we form government, they'll remind us every single day. If they think that we've taken an action that is not in tandem with what we have pledged.
Feel the politicking. Track the politics.
Listen to the candidates.
Keep tabs on their campaign promises.
I want to assure the entire River State that what you are saying here will change for the better.
So I am not the most qualified, and as you know, God doesn't choose the most qualified. He qualifies the chosen.
Follow the views of those who agree
and the reviews of those who don't.
Understand the outcomes.
Join us as we take you on Road to 2023. 8 a.m. Saturdays on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Feel the politicking.
Track the politics.
Listen to the candidates.
Keep tabs on their campaign promises.
Follow the views of those who agree
and the reviews of those who don't.
Understand the outcomes.
On Road 2023 on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. It still is Road to 2023 on 92.3 Nigeria Info. Do running mates matter?
2023 on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Oh, my goodness. Do running mates matter? Okay. That is a mirror effect, I'm guessing. I get to understand what that is shortly. And we have been taking your thoughts so far as to the personality of running mates. Why is it important? What goes into choosing a running mate? My guest has been Sir Ikechi Nwogu, joining me to dissect this issue. You're welcome once again.
Thank you.
All right, it's time to hear from you. There are many more questions to ask, but we'd like those questions to also come from you. But more importantly, there are questions for you. What do you think? Does the choice of a running mate improve a candidate's chance at the polls? The numbers to call: 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003. 0817-923-0007. And of course, 0817-923-0009. WhatsApp is 0809030616. Please turn off your radio as you call. It's important. Good morning, Mr. Sam. The VP position is so sensitive that a candidate also has to consider a lot of factors like religion, tribe, and influence. As for the female gender, they did poorly this past political party election in the sense that they didn't come all out to participate in the elections. I wish they get more political appointments come 2023. Well, what the female gender has been relegated to. But do you agree with his position?
I think what's affecting the female gender is affirmative action. I've always said, personally, I don't believe in affirmative actions. I feel you're a woman, you're a man, you should recognize your strengths and push for gold. Okay, affirmative actions to me are somewhat derogatory. So when you say we're creating a chance, 13% for women or 35% for youth or something, we're saying, okay, maybe that's because the youth cannot fight for themselves or the women cannot fight for themselves. So let's just help them with this. And beyond that positioning, it seems as though they really can't do very much for themselves. So you're the plus side could be considered. So you're exposing this woman, like the Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala's, the Obi Ezekwesili's. If you asked Ngozi or Obi to go fight for themselves, they really may not make much showing. But now you've placed her as economic minister, supervisory minister of the economy, and everyone can see, wow. And you've also seen her placement at the World Trade Organization. She's making great impact, but that's because some bit of opportunity had been ceded to her and she could now perform. And so everyone needs that platform to shine, to showcase himself or herself, which is where affirmative action could help. But otherwise, I think beyond affirmative action, we should enable ourselves to stand out and be heard, stand out and be known, not in negative or extreme activism, but also making statements that matter once in a while. Okay, we've had the Queen Aminas of this world, and they stood for themselves. Yes, Queen Amina was the daughter of a king, but she could have laid back, she could have taken the back seat and said, okay, that's a man's thing, not a woman's thing. And so in most of these parts, what exposures have we given to women? Okay, we've had tremendous women stand out in politics through the history, I mean, from 1999 till date. But at the end of the day, they probably retire to one political appointment and that's it. You never hear their voices again. You still need the male forces to push for them, to push for victory. That's obviously because of the pattern of politicking, where you have to depend on ballot box snatching, you have to depend on thuggery and all that. And we scarcely have female thugs, especially in gross proportion in Nigeria. Okay, so that has, to a very large extent, scared a lot of women away. But Nigeria has got great women. And I think it's time to begin to get known. Our vice, our deputy governor is a woman. And of course, I like the fact that most of the local government councils, okay, now have it as a thing, women. But then, how many of those voices have you heard? If I ask you who the deputy chairman or the vice chairman, right, of a Quaker local government area is, you may not know. If I ask you who the vice chairman of Eche is, you may not know.
That's right? What you should ask me.
Yeah. You know, so they need to come out more, not in terms of being too outgoing, but with their sublime enrichment of politics, with their, you know, contributions, meaningful contributions, you should feel their impact. And then when the chairman gives way, then you can say, I think I like this woman and a pattern of play, and I think she should be involved in something more meaningful.
Whenever we're having the conversation around women in politics, leadership and all of that, the narrative that follows is, oh, the women are not ready. You know, I hear that a lot. And even though these are valid points, I want to ask, is it that they are not ready? Because it seems even though they do as much as they can, the fact that we are in a patriarchal society, you know, it will still hold them down. So is it them not being ready or the kind of society we find ourselves?
It's a combination of even more than that. Readiness should be shown by their indication. Okay, you get around political campaigns and political conversations, even at the home front. How many houses will you visit at random and have the wife of the house come take the center stage of the political discussion? You get into the classroom. It's almost like football.
Yeah.
It seems like a man's thing. Yes, even on your studio here, apart from Angie Kalela and Dockers, okay, which other woman would just want to readily come out and discuss football? Because it's been assumed to be a man's thing, but it's not a man's thing. Women are beginning to define patterns now in political conversations and stuff, but they need to come out more and have their voices heard. It's only when you speak up that people can, to some extent, have, you know, access to your brain and your reasoning power. And so how many women would want to get themselves muddied in all of the political power play now within the season? So the season has also not favored them. The season has really not been exciting for them. So they would rather want to, in spite of their interests, they would rather want to play from the back seat, the support base, if need be, not from the front lines. And that's, to a large extent, what is hampering, you know, their participation.
All right, we're still taking your thoughts. 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003. 0817-923-0007. And of course, 0817-923-0009. Now, the question is, does the choice of a running mate improve a candidate's chance at the polls? Please turn off your radio as you call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, what's your name?
Yes, the place of a running mate is very important.
Okay.
In Nigerian politics. It is not as if a running mate should just be seen as a spare tire. No. Nigerian system do not allow that. Because we are practicing a bicameral legislature, by virtue of bicameral legislature, the vice president has a substantial power like the mate. So in choosing the running mate, it should be a vibrant and an experienced person who must stand to tell his principals, this is the way we go, this is the way we go, so that things will work well, not just remaining passive, like somebody who referenced the vice president with a professor in law. He is so docile, he don't talk, he accepts everything. It's not supposed to be like that. So that's my take.
All right, thank you very much. Route 23, good morning.
Yeah, hello, good morning.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
And I'm calling you from Adam Church.
Go ahead.
Okay, based on data and statistics, I'll say the place of Running Mate only plays a huge role in national politics and not state politics. Mm. As demonstrated in Kaduna, all required during his first tenure, he saw what he did. It was a Muslim Christian ticket. Second tenure, they decided to change that and he did Muslim motion. He won his election, a landslide. To what extent did this woman, Tipali Buhari, influence the election and re-election of Governor Wike? Her contribution to the election of Wike is close to zero, and the re-election of Wike is also close to zero. But in terms of national politics, we have a whole lot of factors. We have the tribal factor, the zonal factor, so many things playing in. In fact, it's huge influence. That's why you see the place of placeholders and all that.
Mm.
But in terms of local policies, like the state, the local government, it is just like it is purely better. They have little or nothing to contribute to the election or the election of the principal holder.
All right. Thank you very much. Good morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, you're very distinguished, Arafa.
Marnie, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I went to Procurator. Happy weekend to you, sir.
Happy weekend.
The very distinguished Arafa. I think, in my own personal opinion, when we talk about the issue of running mate, it's not a major concern to me.
Why?
Because sometimes when you have a running mate, the power can be effective. The president himself, who is the boss, permits him or give him the go ahead to do anything at all. Outside that, he is just like a spare tire. The spare tire can only work when the main tires are being flattened. And if you look at the kind of government we are right now, where we have a professor, how the issue of the rule of law, how has it been downplayed? As far as this president of Muhammadu Buhari-led government is concerned. So the competence and the political will of the president or the incoming president should be our major concern. A man who has the interest of the people at heart. A man who has the socio-economic matters, who has a lot of upset that one will not only depend on the subordinate, but on the table of discussion and contribution, can make a very meaningful contribution outside the one his subordinate to give it. That is a president we should be looking for, not even the running mate. That is my personal opinion.
Yeah, okay, well, thank you very much, Temple. I mean, it literally is like being in a plane. In the cockpit, you have the pilot and the co-pilot. Even though the pilot is called the captain and, he's responsible for all of that. But the identity and capacity of his co-pilot is extremely important. But before my next question, let's look at what the caller said. This plays out at the national and not as much locally at the state level. Do you agree?
Who sets the rules? It's just the way it has been, but that doesn't mean it's the way it should always be, right? So if eventually the incoming governor of River State chooses a very active participant in politics, very knowledgeable person, a very influential person, then there will be a game change. Okay, so where you have set the tone to docility, it's not even about gender. I mean, if you date back 5-6 administrations behind or before this time, who were the deputies? What standout features did they have? So you see that it's a pattern that has been set, okay, and it's just the way it has been. But it shouldn't be that way. I think we should look out for, whether it's a man or a woman, we should look out for active presence. Sometimes the principals are withholding of certain levels of power because of fear and intimidation. Oh, this man may hijack my thing. And of course, if the running mate is only interested in his business, is only interested to the extent to which he could gain from the office, okay, the spoils of the office and the benefits, okay, then his interest will just be reflected that way, because the vice president is usually very powerful.
Indeed.
And we shouldn't ignore that. Now he wants to get some contracts for his boys and all that and keep his region in the scheme of things. Then that's very pedestrian. But where he's someone who's proactive and wants that pride of place, wants to showcase himself, because, you know, let's not forget that in a lot of cases, a lot of states, a lot of the way it plays out in Nigerian politics, the vice president is tipped as a likely candidate if the president gives him the support. And that's why he needs to stand out on his own terms, you know, with his own legs, not just always being shadowed by whatever the president does and stuff. Yeah.
You have to also consider the nature in which the executive officer, the number one man, handles his own form of leadership. Is the running mate docile by choice or by the leverage given by his principal?
By the leverage. So by the leverage.
If you have an insecure...
Yeah, then he'll just block you. You realize that the powers of the current vice president have been grossly whittled down, especially after the sweeping changes he made in the absence of the president. You know, he had to make some changes with the DSS and all that.
Every 2 minutes.
Yeah, and you could see the new trajectory of the economy. It seemed like everything was working, and then he began to earn the praise. Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed 10,000. And so it seemed like, wow, it triggered on some insecurity within certain quarters of the cabal, and then look, let's just cut off some parts, because this man might be the next Samson on the block, you know. So it's a design, it's a deliberate design.
So basically, yeah, you're saying Saul said, "These 2 minutes we are come out."
Yes,
you want to show yourself. All right, let's go back to the phone line. 0817-923-0002. All right, call back if you can. Now, it's important that you remember where we are. So just for the purpose of remembering.
You are on Road to 2023.
Yes, indeed, it is Road to 2023 on 92.3 Nigeria Info. Text from Oyibo on WhatsApp says, "Good morning, Sam and Saikechi. Idealistically, it should matter. The primary responsibility of Nigeria's VP and all 36 deputy governors is to keep breathing." Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm sorry I'm laughing, but it's funny the way you put it. He says, keep breathing in case Oga stops breathing. Literally, they are presidents and governors in waiting. However, they are head of national and state economic councils and head of national and state boundary commission. So they have some function. But the average Nigerians hardly bother about economic policies until there's some steep price hike in commodity, then we start complaining. I think physically challenged Nigerians should also put in the discussion of minority groups, just like women and youth. Thank you for that perspective, Tex. So persons living with disabilities, also in the minority,
they've got the brains, they've got the wit, they've got the ability, and we can get around their physical strengths, okay? So what is the real challenge? Because at the end of the day, most of what would advance the economy will be based on ideas. And if you can get around people with ideas, that provides meaning. But a lot of these, like, of course, the women, have they got the brains? Do they stand out in class? Do they stand out through the growth process, right? The youth, have they got... So everyone has got something to offer. And for me, nobody should be left to be neglected. I look forward to a time when we'd have maybe a president from the ranks of the fiscally challenged, because these ones are human beings. But where are they? Where are they? Everyone is waiting for affirmative action, you know, and we might wait a little longer, because Nigeria doesn't seem ready for all of that. Because look at the fierceness with which we campaign. Okay, sometimes the principals don't sleep. Back to back to back to back. They are consulting, they are moving here and there. No one wants to be slowed by any feature, by anything. Okay, yeah.
So, mind, body, and soul.
Mind, body, and soul.
Back to the phone lines. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. Good morning.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, different man. Calling from Brazil.
Go ahead.
Yeah, in Nigeria, definitely, the position of the vice president, the running mate, is very, very important. Going to the fact that we are a religiously divided country, and also we have a lot of ethnic group in the country. And whether we like it or not, Nigeria has two protectorates, though it has not been, you know, clearly defined in today's world, in today's Nigeria, but it is there, the South and the North. So in order for us to have good representation where someone must be there from the South and from the North, we must have a running mate. And in a country like ours, we shouldn't just have a running mate. You know, I remember in the time of Obasanjo, there was an issue. We heard that the president then intended to, you know, make provision for a third term. If not for the efforts of the vice president then, I think that probably would have been a reality. So we need not just a vice president, a running mate, we need an active running mate. And more power should be ceded to a running mate as well.
Can I ask you a question?
Not just being there as a rubber stamp.
All right. Can you hear me?
Okay, thank you.
Hello.
Yes.
What part of the country are you from?
I'm from the southern part of the country.
Okay. So let's imagine that there is a candidate from the northern part of the country, and this candidate chooses a running mate from your region. Would that be enough to influence your vote? Would you want to vote for this party and candidate?
It definitely do not be enough. To me, I don't consider, you know, where the person comes from. The competence of the person is what matters.
Okay.
But that is not the understanding. That is not the orientation of the average Nigerian. Whether we like it or not, religion and where the person comes from plays a critical role in Nigeria. The average Nigerian thinks that if someone from his own region does not, you know, represent, is not represented, then it doesn't have any need to participate in the electoral process.
Right,
but to me, it doesn't matter where the person comes from. What I consider most is the competence and the pedigree of the person.
Thank you very much. Since this show is dedicated to enlightenment, I'm guessing our target is the average Nigerian. Hello, good morning. Call back if you can. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Mr. Bankole.
Go ahead, Mr.
Bankole. I'm calling from Port Harcourt.
All right.
I think the issue of running mate is something that is based on self-assessment. It hasn't been chosen as a presidential candidate. You know yourself, you know your qualification, you know your disposition. So you have to carefully look for another person that will complement your role, because it's going to be a heavy responsibility when you become president. So now, when you pick somebody who can complement your thinking, your ideas, and who can go outside and know what needs to be done so that the totality of actions can be completed, it's not a running mate that wants to be president immediately. It's not a crime to want to be president. But you have to preserve your ambition for the purpose of the man that I've chosen you. That is like, if you look at the present vice president, you see that he didn't not have any ambition until we are getting to the end. And if you go back to the time of Obasanjo, hardly had the first president sitting in the post, he has started not seeing the ambition of being president. And that thing led to issue of hanky-panky and the distance of between him and the president. So we need to understand the proper role. The president only made me to understand the proper role. Why he is being chosen for geographical spread, political balance, thinking balance, idea balance, and whatever, to move the country forward.
All right.
You don't have to be pursuing your ambition right from onset of being the vice president.
Okay. You have. Oh, thank you very much. Those things he said actually do look good on paper. Let's go over to WhatsApp. Good morning, Nigerian Info. A Nigerian political party select running mates just to gain votes from his area. Running mates in Nigeria are like shadows following an object. That's from Stephen. Good morning, Sam and my able director, Saike Chinwogu. Now that INEC has dismissed the concept of placeholder, for vice presidential candidate as illegal, saying he has no place in constitution and legal framework. What's the fate of the newly nominated running mates of Labour Party and other parties? You know, we'll get to find out eventually. I'm ashamed of, he mentions a party here. You will agree with me that intelligence that matters in society, it is mediocrity. Well, they're showing a lack of faith in a particular party. Of course, we are going to get to the point, and I think we should get there now. The personality of the running mates that we know so far. We know who that of the PDP is and the Labour Party. Mm-hmm. How do you assess these running mates? We'll start with the PDP.
Antecedents. So let's start with the PDP. Ifeanyi Okowa has been a governor. But you also go back to the level of development, okay, progress in Delta State. I've tried as much as I can to follow through with some of the achievements, and I think the River State governor is still a standout feature in the political schemes
as
around the South
Okowa.
Compared to Okowa. Okay.
Are we talking political influence or?
Development. I've been to Delta in Okowa's regime, and you haven't seen, you know, the standout speed of development, the turnaround maintenance of Delta State. Okay. Salaries are still being owed. It's the same thing with River State, probably. You hear the cries from pensioners and all that, but it's a little worse, okay, when you get to Delta State. It seems as though he is a figurehead and there isn't much development. Now, being able to stabilize the state is a strong factor,
indeed.
But there isn't war also in River State, in Delta, in Bayelsa, and other grounds in the South, right? Then you get over to the Labour Party, Dati, the owner of Bayes University and all that, a young man with sterling qualities, 46 years.
All right.
Yeah.
The age is important too to Nigerians.
Yeah, really he's important. A youth.
So, yeah, he is. Technically, he qualifies as a youth. After the break, we talk some more about the personality of the Labour Party running mate. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Yes, indeed, you are actually on what is left of Road to 2023, and we have just less than 2 minutes left. Saike Chimogu is still right here with me. An interesting comment just came in on WhatsApp. Your choice of a wife determines how far you go in life. It's also applicable to government on how well you perform in office, and that is from Francis. So we're talking about the personality of the Labour Party running mate. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so for his age, because I like to match age, he's only 46, and for what he's achieved, you either identify with two things. One, maybe he's from a very wealthy background. He could be fronting for his father, for which, I mean, a 46-year-old man could carry on such huge profile. You look at the environment, the northern pattern, the northern behavior, okay, they give exception to a few elites and let them run the show for them, so which is why he's been a senator. But then, how much of a standout senator has he been? We've known, I mean, up till date, we still hear of the likes of Dino Melaye and the rest of them because of their features, because of, the, what do you call him, Ben Bruce. Ben Murray Bruce, because of the bills they proposed and all that.
Yeah.
So we haven't heard much about Dati in terms of political antecedents. Okay, in comparison to Okowa, Okowa is a sitting governor. Dati has not led a state before. So being a businessman could in some way differ from being a politician. Okay, as a businessman, you run your empire, you run the show, you call the shots, irrespective of how outstanding you have been. We have not even interacted with Bayes University staff or his other staff to know what kind of boss he's been, to know what we expect. So you balance all of these things, but by the paperworks, by the books, everybody would package his profile in a way that, you know, commends some bit of appeal. So far, so good. I think the most important thing for me at the end of the day is ahead of 2023, we have the hopes that whoever emerges from any of the party would have a run for his money. And that's a plus for Nigerian politics.
All right. So based on profile packaging, it's just like your LinkedIn profile.
Mm.
Some candidates and running mates are looking really good.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond the packaging, let's hope that we see what the reality is. Thank you very much, Saike Chimogu, for making the time. It's always a pleasure sharing space with you. And if we'd like to connect with you on social media,
at Ike Chimogu across platforms.
All right.
Yeah.